Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Well, greetings.
Hi, Deirdre. How are you today?
I'm good, and I'm gonna start the intro to the show, and then I'll talk with you. I just want to greet my audience and thank them for a very, wish them a very happy new year. And this is Sunday afternoon. And I guess they could hear from the song that I just played, Little Girl of Mine, which was by Herbie Cox and the Cleftones.
That's correct.
And we're going to head down doo-wop lane.
Okay, sounds great.
And I'm Deirdre Schuler, and I'm the host of The Topic of Yours, which is on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Show. And, well, today we're going to have two guests, but we're starting at the top of the show with the Cleftones. And as I said, we just played one of the songs, Little Girl of Mine. As you can hear, we have the lead singer, Herbie Cox, with us today. And how are you?
I'm great. I'm having a lot of fun and listening to the music. That was a live show that you just played on us. That was good to hear that every now and then instead of the plain original record. That's something live that I think we recorded about a year ago. But that's great.
Wow. Well, let me mention onset of the show that you are about to make an appearance on the 19th.
That's correct.
That's Lehman Center of Performing Arts in the Bronx.
Right.
For those that don't know where it is, it's at 250 Bedford Park Boulevard West. And it's going to be at 8 o'clock on January 19th.
That's true.
You're sharing the show with others.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a great lineup. It's it's a, you know, the term sort of rock and roll and doo-wop have merged into one thing at this point, and I'm real happy about that. And you know, and that we're all busy. We've been all over the world. We've in Italy and the UK and Barcelona. We played everywhere. And this music, what people call doo-wop or rock and roll, is still very popular all over the world. We had 4,000 people in Italy, a similar crowd in the UK. So, and we've been doing this for about 9 years, traveling overseas. But it's nothing like being back at home. So we're looking
Tell
forward to
it.
Tell me about
it.
Yeah.
And speaking of home, you're a New Yorker.
Well, I used to be a New Yorker. I'm calling you now from Atlanta, Georgia, which is where I live now. And
okay.
But I'm in New York often. I love New York. New York is in my blood. I'm still a Yankee fan and a Giants fan. So, yeah, New York is still in my blood.
And I say that because you originated out of Queens, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we were students in Jamaica High School in Jamaica, Queens, way back when. We were, our group, the Cleftones, we were raging in age from about 16 to 17 and a half. And we were doing some things in the school having to do as typical, you know, sort of with the fact that there's elections have been going on. We were working on an election campaign for a group of students who never won the student election. And they asked us, would we put together a little song for them? And we put together a song, and it went over great. And the law in the school at that time was no rock and roll in school. And we took a rock and roll song and changed the words and made it a song that was appropriate for the election. And that group of people won based on the fact that they. That we got rock and roll in the school by being subversive, I guess. You know.
How old were you then?
Well, I was 16 years old when I was first got into the Cleftones, and I'll just tell you this: this year is our 58th consecutive year of performing.
Wow!
We've had a long stretch. There have been plenty of you know, barren times in it, but we've worked, you know, always had something to do in nightclubs or making records or touring, and we the Cleftones have had a fabulous I think opportunity for young people. You know, we still finished and got our education the right way, but in the meantime, you know, traveling cross country. Crisscrossing the country in the 50s, we worked with Little Richard and with Sam Cooke and with Jackie Wilson and you name it, you know. We worked with most of the great artists of that day. Laverne Baker, who was a great friend of ours and called herself our show business mama because we were young kids out there and hardly knew what we were doing. She used to watch us just like she was, you know, paid to watch us.
Our mother hen.
Yes, she is great. And we became great friends with her, you know, down through the years, and of course she's passed away.
Well, is that how you got started? Because you go from a kid group in school,
yeah,
to fame, to national fame. How did that happen for you?
Well, you know, for us again, at our age, we were very happy just to hear our record played on the radio. I remember the first time they said our first record was being released. We gathered up at a friend's house, a young girl who started a fan club for us. A person who was a student in school with us, and was played on the Alan Freed show back in those days. And he said, here's a hot young group coming out of Jamaica, Queens. They're called the Cleftones. And all I heard him say is the Cleftones. We screamed throughout the whole record. We couldn't hear it over the radio. We were so happy and delighted. But it was a good start for us, and we were fortunate. Our group was, you know, young people who had the right outlook on life, and you know, we stuck together very well for many, many years. And
well, did you start off as the Silvertones?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've done your homework. That's right. That was our first name, and we decided that wasn't fancy enough, the Silvertones, because there was plenty of groups, various kinds of tones out there. So one of the other guys in our group came up with the idea of calling us the Cleftones, and we thought that was unique. And so we took that name, and it stuck to this very day. just for a moment, I'd like to mention the fellows who were in the original group. Warren Corbin, who was our bass singer, if you heard that song, that was him doing the And he was our bass. He passed away, unfortunately. Great guy, great friend, and instrumental to the group. It was Charles James, Berman Patterson, both of whom are still with us, and they both live in Florida, living the life of ease. And
nice.
William McLean, another good friend and one of the founding members, the guy I considered to be the leader of the group because he was a little bit more mature than the rest of us. And that was the group that we had. And for 9 years, it was that that was the makeup of the group. And
who will be with you at Raymond College? Who will be singing with
I'm
you
sorry.
As part of the Peftones?
I didn't quite hear that.
Who will be singing with you as part of the Peftones at Raymond College?
Oh well, the other acts. Let me name the other acts, and then I'll go through the Cleftones. Of course, Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs, the group that made Little Darlin' originally, and the big hit on Stay. Maurice, a great writer, wrote these songs. Kenny Vance and the Planetones, Looking for an Echo. They sort of represent something a little bit different in the field of doo-wop, but they sing classic songs and they have a unique styling that goes over very well. And also on the show, one of my favorite acts is Barbara Harris and the Toys. You might remember they had a big hit record called A Lover's Concerto.
That's an all-girls group too, right?
That it is, and they are terrific. They are great. They're as good today. We've sort of grown up together because they started just a few years after us. And then, of course, there's Cleveland Stills and the Dubs, who had several big hits, but the ones I think that stand out is Could This Be Magic and The Chapel of Dreams. If you might not know the song by the title, but as soon as you hear it, you say, oh, yeah, I've heard that 1,000 times. Great, beautiful ballads that they do. So that's going to be the principal lineup of the show, and we're looking forward to working with some of these people we haven't seen for a little while.
Well, are you on tour with them, or how
well,
is that?
Well, we may as well be on tour. We've been busy. We're doing maybe 4 or 5 dates a month, and you know we're not 16 anymore, so we got to kind of measure it out so that the energy is there and the enthusiasm is there. We're busy. Like I said, we play Europe once or twice and play Vegas once or twice a year, and we basically travel all over the country from California to Maine, working at various places. But New York is still basically our home. All of us grew up there, and over the years we've sort of dispersed a little bit, but New York is still home for us basically.
Well, is Heart and Soul your most favorite famous song?
Well, you know, this is a good problem to have. People always ask, Little Girl of Mine was our first big hit. It was a second record that we recorded, and it has sold over 1 million copies down through the years. It's been re-recorded by many people. Bowser had recorded and was doing it on his show, on a TV show for years. And a lot of people who don't even know, you know, the group, but they know diddle-it-a-little-it-a-little-it. Yeah, they know that part. And I'm grateful for that. But both Little Girl of Mine and Heart and Soul have both sold well over 1 million records. And I was stunned about 7 or 8 years ago when we first started going to the UK how many people were familiar with our music there. I was absolutely stunned. We worked there every year and, you know, had really nice crowds, 3,000-4,000 people, you know, coming into the shows. And that's very rewarding, and we've made a lot of friends there in the UK and in Italy as well.
Well, I hear over and over from other artists how the European audience can even sing along with you. They know every word. Everything about the music. It's like they've researched the artist. They know more about it almost than the artists themselves, which, of course, is impossible. But
I've had that happen to me. Someone asked, well, what year did you record this song? And I said, oh, I think it was 1962. Nah, that was 64. Yeah, they know the documentation better than I do. But I'm just grateful that they do know it. And I think there's so many innovations in American music that it's hard to keep up with what is the trend. I like all kinds of music. I like classical music. I like pop music. I like a little country music. I was born in Cincinnati, so I was a hayseed. You know, I wasn't born in New York, but I like that, and I like some hip hop. And you know, I think there's beauty in all music if you can find, you know, what touches your heart and what touches you. But you're right, the people in Europe and in Spain, we found this in Barcelona when we worked there, in Italy and in England many times we worked there. They know the songs better than the people in the audience know them, and they sing right along. It's really very gratifying to see that the music did touch other people. And some of it is a little juvenile, at, you know, by today's standard, but we were kids. We were 17 years old. Listen, I thought A Little Girl of Mine was a serious love song, you know.
Well, tell me, for the younger audience that's not clear on what doo-wop is, what definition or how would you describe doo-wop music?
Well, it's a little interesting, and it's sort of politically sensitive, but I've never shied away from those things. Listen, this music, for me, as I said, I grew up as a kid in Ohio, and then later came my family moved to New York. But I would listen to what was called at that time rhythm and blues. And my mother used to play all kinds of records by, you know, great blues singers like Charles Brown. And she was Dinah Washington. Well, Dinah Washington was a big fan. A favorite of my mom's, who my mother was also a singer too, not professionally, but she sang all the time anyway, in spite of not being a professional. But
that's where you got your talent.
Yeah, I think so. From my mom, and my grandmother played a guitar in the church band, and so I picked up a lot of the thoughts of, you know, singing. I used to sing along with them when I was about 7 or 8 years old, and. So I guess that's where the insight to want to be involved in music came from. But, this music was originally, from my point of view, called rhythm and blues. And the acts that we admired, many of them have disappeared, but like the Five Keys and, Hank Ballard's Midnighters and people like that, who we were impressed by their music, and late, great James Brown, all of this was a form of R&B, rhythm and blues, and then later a lot of the music by the groups was changed. The name became doo-wop. It was not called doo-wop at first. This is a relatively recent name, relatively. But if that's what the people wanted to call it, I went along with it personally, and so did most of the acts. But this has been with us a long time. When I say this,
once told me it's called streetlight music.
Street corner music, yes. We have a CD called Street Corner Serenade, for instance, where we used to sing a cappella under the street lamp on in the parks and whatnot. And we did it, frankly, we did it because we were hoping some of the girls would come around and listen to it. So that was fun. But all of that contributed. This is homegrown music. This is music that's created by young people. And I guess people like us, you know, who are still there, and we still sing some of the old songs, but we sing new ones as well. But it's changed from being sort of a homegrown amateur product to a very professional, lucrative product. Records still sell all over the world. You don't hear too many of them on the radio, but all over the world, our music still sells.
Well, that's the thing, like, 'cause most people say we don't hear too much. Even R&B these days, we hear more hip-hop and
yes.
what the commercial radio is playing. They don't play some of the music of the past, but I've gone to different venues and events, and people seem to be stars for the music.
They are.
For
that's
the R&B
what I find.
And the doo-wop.
Yes, I find that's true. As I say, we're a group that, we're not kids anymore. But we travel a lot, and most of us are retired from other jobs or positions that we've had. But we do this because we love it, and it's not bad to make a few dollars every now and then too. But we do it really because we love the music and we believe in it, and it's a part of America, and that's something that the people in Europe know. And a professor. From I think it was Stuttgart University who came over to see us perform when we were in England, and he said, you know, next to the atomic bomb, what America is going to be remembered for is rock and roll and doo-wop music, you know, because it swept the whole world. It created, you know, we've had a chance to meet some of the big, big artists who've told us this, like Paul Simon told us that we were one of the groups that inspired them. I was shocked by that because their music sounds so different, but looking back, they were youngsters listening to us who were a little bit older than them, and similar comments from people like Mick Jagger, and they loved listening to the doo-wop or R&B music that was coming out of America, and that had a lot to do with the framing of their careers and their music as well.
Well,
so,
even the Beatles mentioned they Chuck Berry and
oh yes
that they learned from a lot of the black artists. I guess Elvis Presley could say the same.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and no taking no shot at Elvis, especially since he's gone. But one of the people that he idolized, according to his manager, Colonel Parker, was the late, great, good friend of ours, Jackie Wilson, who for me was, he and Sam Cooke were the best vocalists, you know, and there are plenty of great vocalists, but those are my two favorites, I'll just put it that way. And, you
what
know.
What about the women artists?
Oh, well, I always have to mention Laverne Baker because she was such a good friend, and she used to call us, she was considerably older than us, obviously, but we got out on the road. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how to go shopping. We didn't know anything. We were just out there. And she took us under her wing and called us. She said, I'm going to be your show business mama. I'm going to tell you guys how to stay out of trouble. Don't try to chase all these girls around here. So that was about the only thing on our mind, frankly. But she was
Oh, how
really,
was that, though? I was just get off the pack a little bit. Were all these girls suddenly, how did it feel to suddenly be kids in school and then be idolized by so many girls? They must have been running up to you and idolizing you.
There was never quite enough of them, but there were always girls who came around, and we had a group of young ladies in Detroit who started the Cleftones fan club, and for years they helped promote our records and talked about us and stuff like that. They, you know, they became good friends really, and for a long time, and so it was good. But the main thing for the Cleftones is that we had opportunity to see America, and I mean really see it. We were on those bus tours. We started out in New York, go to Washington D.C., then head into the South, and then go all the way across to Arizona and California, up and back.
How was that in the 50s, going on a bus tour in the South?
Well, to anybody who thinks this is a great idea, you got to be in really good shape and have really highly desensitized ears. You know, some things you don't want to hear. But it was for us, it was an education. We never would have, I mean, we were playing in places like Oklahoma and Tucson, and we got all kind of opportunities to see places. We worked with Buddy Holly and the Crickets on one of those shows, and Buddy Holly was a person who was curious about music. How did you guys think of that thing? Why did you put that in this part of the song? And you know, it was a lot of comments like that from him. He was a great guy. He was so curious about music, and that's why I think he had such success in music. He borrowed from all aspects, from gospel, country, rhythm and blues, and created the sound he felt was good for him.
Well, that made him famous. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it absolutely did. He was a terrific singer, and he's a smart, smart young man, all in the same time. But more importantly, that, you know, we got to cross barriers. You know, a lot of black acts and white acts got to know each other for the first time. And all of us used to say, you know, if the people could only be every day in the street the way we are on the bus tours, it would be no problem.
Exactly.
And we never had problems.
Did you used to work with Murray the K as well?
Oh, yeah. Murray was we did a lot of shows with him at the Brooklyn Fox after Alan Freed closed his shows at the Brooklyn Paramount. we worked, I don't know how many times we worked at Brooklyn Paramount, maybe 10 or 12 times. But he liked us a lot. Alan Freed was a fan of ours and helped us a lot. But Murray was also very central to our success, too. We did a lot of shows with him. We used to do some of the shows with him when he was over in Palisades Park. I don't know if you remember those things, but we went over to him, and then later Cousin Brucey started running those shows. And we've had the good fortune of working in a lot of places and seeing a lot of things. It isn't always easy, and everything isn't always, you know, fine. Over the course of what I've been telling you, we've lost one of our original singers who passed away, our bass, as I told you, Warren Corbin. And we have another one of our guys who's been with us for many years who's ill right now. He hasn't been performing with us for the last 2 years, and so we pray for him and keep him in the loop all the time as well.
Who will be performing with you at Lehman Center?
Well, the rest of the Cleftones, the surviving members. That's Mr. Nick Saunders. Nick lives in Florida right now, and he's our baritone bass. Mr. Mac Todd, who is the the all time street corner singer. I met him in, I think, 54 or something. He was singing with some group, and eventually we needed a replacement. We had a girl sing with us for a little while. We needed a replacement, and Mac Todd joined us, and he's been there ever since. He's a great contributor. Kevin Jeter, who is our second tenor, a terrific singer, good lead singer. He's very versatile. And recently, I told you one of our members got ill a year ago, and we needed someone else to take over, and fate just came our way. One of our best friends in the business was Earl Carroll, better known as Speedo, and we've been friends since 1956, and we lost him this year. And one of the other members of his group also passed away earlier in the year, and that left one of the original guys, or one of the guys who'd been there for a long time. It left him, and he called me and was telling me about Speedo, how he was doing. But basically, that led to him joining our group, and he's one of the Cleftones now, and has been now for over a year. And so you know, time goes on. Sometimes the faces change, but most of our guys have been no one has been with us for less than 12 years.
Wow.
And that's right. It's like a marriage. It's except for the new guy, Gary, who was with Speedo, but because of Speedo's passing and the group dissolved, and so he was there, and we were looking for another person, and he said, "Hey, that's great. We've known Gary for years." So it's like, you know, like a brother you haven't seen in a long time. So, I think we're fortunate, and we're also proud of the fact that we've been here all this time. It's not many groups have been here for 56, 57 consecutive years. So we're very proud of
that. That's a wonderful thing. I want to ask you about, was one of your songs, She's So Fine?
Oh, boy, thank you. I wrote that song.
Wow. I remember that one. That was a nice one.
Do you remember that one? Okay.
Yeah. Earth Angel?
Well, Earth Angel, we re-recorded that. That was originated by the Penguins. And we recorded it our way, pretty much in the same way we did Heart and Soul. We rearranged it because I don't believe in copying someone else's work. You know, I pay tribute to it. But I think if you're going to do the song, you should have your own feel to it and your own sentiment about it. And so She's So Fine is a song that I wrote myself. I thought it was going to be a big hit, and it did well, but it wasn't a big hit. It wasn't a chart topper, so to speak. But, I've had the good fortune. I've had a lot of songs in various movies, you name it, almost Goodfellas. Bronx Tale. There's a whole lot of them. It's called Drive. I'm sorry, with Sylvester Stallone and many others. We've had a lot of songs. We've been fortunate to have a lot of our music as background music in really popular movies. So,
how does that feel when you go to a movie and you hear your songs in the movie itself?
Well, that's still, it makes you feel good, and it makes you feel that you did leave something that was worth replicating and going over and letting other people enjoy it or do their own renditions. I have no problem with other people singing the songs that we created, just so they say, well, this was created by so and so, and then I like to hear their rendition of it, which could be a little bit of a different reading. And so we're a proud group, but we love the music, and it's a good group of people, which I think is the secret to having a vocal group stay together a long time. You have to have good people who are sincere, and we're a team. You know, the group is called Herb Cox and the Cleftones because I am the only one of the founding originals who is still in the group and alive. I shouldn't say in the group and alive. There's three guys who are alive, but they stopped performing many years ago. But it's been fine, and it's been enlightening, and the opportunity to travel is great. And also, let me just throw in a quick little thing here. I want to say about the producers of the show, Richard Nader, doo-wop rock and roll shows are legend. They've been on the scene as long as we've been on the scene, and they do a good job of putting the shows together, of knowing the right blend. And every now and then, you know, able to expose other people and give, you know, put some fresh blood in the game, so to speak. I think they do a great job, and their shows are all wonderful. Always did enjoy working for Richard Nader Productions, and you know, I can't say much more about them except they try to do it the right way, and they're professional, and they do it in a respectful way.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned them because I actually spoke to Deborah this morning before we started the show, and so I'm glad you were able to give her company a little shout-out.
Oh, yeah. She works hard, and they do a good job. They try to be as professional as they can, and they usually succeed. And we enjoy working for Richard Nader Productions, always have.
Well, we're waiting for Barbara Harris to call in and I guess she'll be calling in any second.
Well, you know me, I'm a gadfly. I could talk to you for 2 hours, but I don't want you to miss someone else calling.
Oh, no, I'll see her when she comes in. So I guess we'll talk until she does, because I expected her a few minutes earlier, but she's not here yet. So
yeah.
You and I will just continue to keep the show going.
Well, that's no problem.
So tell me, what are some of the other songs? I know it's we talked about She's So Fine, which you wrote. Do some of the other performers or Cleftones write music as well?
Not anything I think of note. Nick Saunders does a lot of work with helping people who are doing recordings, dubs, or tryout records. He does a lot of good jobs with that. I'm not a good technician, not really. I hear music and then I go to my little keyboard and put it down, and you know, every now and then, you know, here's the nightmare for people who write songs. I go to sleep, and in my sleep I hear this great song, and I said, oh boy, great. So I'll sit up and I'll go out and I'll write down a few notes, you know, so I don't forget. You know how a dream, while the dream is going on, it's fantastic or scary or whatever it is. But I write it down. And so when I get up in the morning, I said, I can't wait to go to my little keyboard and play this because this is going to be a great song. Well, I'd say half the times it's okay. About one quarter of the times it's something good. But most of the times it's awful. You think it's good in your sleep. And then you wake and say, are you crazy? What are you trying to do here? But that's just a part of it. But that's okay if you're thinking music and then you follow through on it.
You come up with something.
Sort
of like a start, right?
Yeah, I'm not trying to polish my own apple here, but I have over 40 songs that were published, and not all of them were big hits, obviously. But we've had a pretty good run. We've had five or so out of that have gotten onto the top charts. So,
Blues in the Night, one of your songs?
We recorded the song, but again, that's a song that It was a classic blues song, and we changed it into sort of a medium up-tempo song, Blues in the Night, yeah. I liked it. I don't think it had the, you know, the commercial success that we hoped for, but a lot of people like that. We have some songs that are very popular with people in certain areas. We were in Pittsburgh recently, and yeah, people know Heart and Soul and Little Girl of Mine and Can't We Be Sweethearts and, you know, and several others like that that they've heard on a nationwide. But in Pittsburgh, if we go to Pittsburgh, we always have to sing a song called Lover Boy. That song got to be number one in Pittsburgh. Nowhere else but number one in Pittsburgh. So when we go there, and we go there usually once or twice a year, we have to do that song. And
so the audience get screams it out?
Oh, they sing right along with us. They know the words better than I know them. But it's nice to know that it touched people, you know, and they remember it in a way about maybe something they were doing when they were younger when it came out. But it's just another, to me, sort of amazing and blessed thing to have people, you know, acknowledge that they remember things from way back, and then so that's just another part of the business. I'm still busy writing. I like to write songs and do arrangements. We have a new album we hope that will be out the latter part of or mid part of this year. And
tell me about that. So you guys
I'm
are
sorry.
Back in the studio?
Oh yeah.
You guys are back in the studio, so tell me about that.
Well, yeah, we're working on material now. We hope to have a 12 songs released that are our own of our own writing, mainly my writing and some of the other guys too. But we also do some songs that you would have heard, but we have rearranged them, you know, because of the time difference. I'll tell you this: when we started out and we were lucky in a way to have hit songs right away that we wrote. And then we ran into a wall where it seemed like we couldn't write anything that was really that strong. And I'll never forget this. We had an arranger who told us, he said, Herb, listen. He said, you know, you could go into the studio and you know, people may not be ready, you know, to play, or they haven't rehearsed properly, or there's some technical thing that's wrong. And he said, but there's one thing I can tell you. There's no excuse to do a bad song. And I didn't quite understand what he meant. He said, there's already so many great songs that were done. That's our reason for doing our version of Sentimental Reasons. Now, So that's what inspired us. We could do, and then it never dawned on me that we could rearrange the song to fit our voices and our approach to love songs, you know. And that was a fairly good hit for us as well. So I used to get angry when I heard people sing our songs and play our songs, and then I said, well, wait a minute, I'm crazy. Yeah, I'm getting money. I'm getting royalties. Why am I mad with them?
Well, you know what I'm going to do, since Barbara has yet to show up? I'm going to play one of her songs, if you don't mind.
Fantastic. Love them. Sure.
And I also want to tell the audience, well, we've been talking to Herb Cox of the Cleftones, and they're going to be at Lehman Center for the Performing Arts in the Bronx on January 19th at 8 p.m., and I'm going to give you a number so that you can call and get your tickets.
Oh, fantastic.
And that number is 718-960-8833, so you can go down and hear Herb and all the other gentlemen and ladies that are going to be performing that day, or you can go online at www.lehmancenter.org. And get your tickets.
I've had about six requests this morning already, so this will go right out.
All right. And now we're going to play something called Attack that Barbara Harris sang.
Great song.
And that was one of her hits too, right?
Oh, yeah, great song. Mm-hmm.
And here we go. So hang in there,
I'm here. I remember that. Great song. And Barbara still sounds just the same. She's terrific.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry that she hasn't made it to the show, because I did want to ask her a little bit about her background and how the toys got started. Do you happen to know?
Now, that I couldn't tell you for a fact, but I do recall working with them in the late 50s and early 60s and thinking what a good group they were. Had great voices, and led by Barbara. She's just a terrific voice. And she still sounds the same way today to me. She still got it, you know.
Well, I guess we'll see her at Lehman, and
yeah.
The proof will be in the pudding.
Yeah, so to speak, you're right, yes.
Well, I know that she's an eclectic singer, because I saw in her information that she doesn't just sing doo-wop, but she's actually an R&B singer, and she
yes.
does gospel and jazz and pop and rock and blues
yes.
even.
And I've heard her do most of those, you know, all those different styles and idioms. That yeah, she's right. She's good. Really a marvelous singer. And I don't know if Barbara gets the credit she should get. She gets it from us. I can tell you that. We think she's great. Absolutely terrific.
Well, I know that she recorded, I don't know when she recorded a CD called Barbara Now.
Now, that I'm not familiar with. Either I haven't got one or haven't something, but I don't have that. I mean, obviously, you know, the song that everyone knows by them is Lover's Concerto, of course, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that was a huge worldwide hit. I would have thought from there they would never do nothing but have top 10 songs. But, you know, styles change, and, you know, the
atmosphere. And the business is a fickle.
Yeah,
show business is fickle, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. That's very true. You know, and the worst thing I think you can get in the habit of sort of repeating yourself, you know, doing the same thing. People always want to hear something a little different, and that's the trick, not to lose the edge that you're on, but keep it interesting, you know, not knowing what's going to be around the next bend in the note, if you will. So, but I have immense respect for Barbara and the other people who work for her and her husband, by the way, who's with them, who's a terrific person to have with them. He plays keyboard and helps, you know, keep all that good music coming.
Well, I'm going to play Lover's Concerto.
Okay, great.
And this is by Barbara Harris and the Toys, which
yes.
is, by the way, a singing group of young ladies. Do you know their names?
I
Outside
don't.
Of Barbara?
I don't.
Okay, well, her song will make up for that because we'll hear their voices.
Okay.
Here we go with Barbara Harris and the Toys, Lover's Concerto.
Background girls, that's just well put together song and sung well, terrific.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, but I was just going to mention there's a lot of different you know, styles on this show. You know, Barbara Harris has has her style along with the Toys, and then there's, you know, there are groups like Cleveland Still in the Dubs, who've been around for a long time, made so many great records. Could This Be Magic, Chapel of Dreams, and really great guys, and they carry on the tradition of that group really well. And Kenny Vance and the Planetones, who bring some sort of a new approach to the music, but it's unique and it adds an awful lot, you know. To
what are some of their hits?
Well, they basically do a long medley of a lot of songs you may have heard, but they present them in a different way, and it's difficult to for me anyway to define exactly what it is, but they sing pieces of many songs, And it fits in. Basically what it is, it's, and we do a similar thing, and it's called A Walk Down Memory Lane, where you just hear a little bit of songs. Like, I'm sure if you were someplace and maybe having dinner somewhere and you heard that song, and you might not hear the whole song, but it would bring back, you know, some of those memories that you forget about, some of the great music that was recorded 5, 10, even 20, 30 years ago now, but that is still great when you hear it. And that's one of the things I think that Kenny Vance and the Planetones does. They touch on a lot of songs, and that brings you back a little memory. So that's a little something unique, which is always good for business to have something unique.
Well, they had something called Teenage Jazz and Out of This World. Looking for an Echo, I think.
Oh, Looking for an Echo, yeah. That's a song that's kind of a song that is synonymous with them. The other song I don't know, but they've recorded a lot of songs, and they have a unique approach. And I think when you have a style that's been around for as long as doo-wop or rock and roll or R&B, whatever you want to call it, it's always good to have some new sides and approaches to it. And I think that's one of the things that Kenny and his group have done. You know, it's unique, and it breaks the monotony of all the acts looking and sounding alike. You know,
well, they do some holiday songs. Like, I bet you doo-wop Christmas is something else.
Yeah. There's a lot of those songs too. If you like those, I'm going to put it down. I have a CD of ours that we've done for some Christmas stuff. I'll send you something.
Oh, thank you. That would be wonderful.
So I think this show is well put together. It's a lot of people that you don't get to see as often as I think you should, like Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs. Now talking about songwriter, Maurice Williams has written so many great songs, you know, and recorded them as well as Stay and Little Darling.
Little Darling.
Now think of that. That song was a hit by them originally because they wrote it, because Maurice wrote it, and then oh gosh, what's the name of the group I forgot from Canada who redid it and sold about 10 million with it.
Wow, the Hollies?
No, not Buddy Holly. It was Dave. I can't think of his name right now. I can't think of the vocal group right now, but they sold about 10 million, and I guess he had the same experience when I heard, because some people told me, you know what, someone has re-recorded Little Girl of Mine. You better check that out. And I said, oh, yeah. And then I went and I called the publisher. He said, yeah, we okayed it. And he says, you're going to get a royalty. I said, oh, great, that's a good idea. From being mad, I was elated because I was forgetting
that.
Well,
I see that Cyndi Lauper and Bruce Springsteen sampled some of the Zodiac songs.
Yes, they did. Stay, that's true. And Little Darlin' especially, too. And But you know Maurice is a prolific songwriter, and you know, I have a lot of respect for his ability and unique ideas that he had. You know, those songs now, you know, like Stay and Little Darlin', I mean, they've been on everything. They're on. There's a couple of Broadway shows that are featuring their songs, and you know, so it lives on. People may not see the original artist doing it, but the music lives on.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think that's
that's the thing forever.
Yeah.
When you think of the transition of music going as far back as ragtime and it's gone, it's been like stride music, ragtime, R&B, gospel, goes pop, disco. I mean, the transition as music has gone along through the years has been something else. And now the big one is hip-hop, but even that will give way to something.
Yeah, it's changing as we speak. You know, I'm not a quote-unquote hip-hop fan, but I listen to all kinds of music, because you find something that's good, exciting, or charming, or whatever, in all of the music. And, you know, I'm not big-time on profanity and all that. I don't think that's necessary, But I do like all artists, you know, to see what they can do. I mean, you know, he's controversial, but I like a lot of Kanye West's music, you know. And so there's so many different styles, and that's the beauty of music. I guess it's like, you know, if a woman is going to buy a dress, and then there's 13 dresses with different colors. You might have trouble figuring out which color you want, you know. So
They buy them all.
They buy them all. Yeah, a lot of men won't like that answer, but that's correct. That is correct.
Right. So now, while the women are looking at the fashion and color, and the men are looking at their wallets.
That's right. Looking at how many greenbacks they got left.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's the way life is. And I love music. Period. We're doing on our new album. We have a couple of. I won't mention them now, but I'll just say we have a couple of classical songs that you've probably never heard this way. We hope you like it. It might be too different, but we like to do things that are variations, and we don't believe in copying anyone, but we can use what they're doing as an inspiration. And as I told you, that comes to the Cleftones from way back when in the late 50s when we were hitting the edge where we weren't having that many hits, and our musical director and the guy was heading up the session, Henry Glover. And who, by the way, is the man who wrote Drown in My Own Tears and The Peppermint Twist. So he knew what he was talking about. So he was our arranger at the record company. And he said, Herbie, he said, look, I know you're writing all these songs. He said, but, you know, they're the same. You know, you're stuck in a little rut here. And he said, there's no excuse to do a bad song. He said, there's so many good ones that already have been done. He said, you can redo it. And I thought of that, and I looked at some songs, and I found a song. He said, try this song. And I won't try to sing it because it takes a whole group, but I heard this song, and I said, oh, that's pretty. I thought at last I'd found you, but other arms were round you. I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you. I said, that's beautiful. And
yes,
then I said, boy, who wrote this? And you know who wrote that song?
Who?
Bing Crosby.
Get out.
Yeah. So as a doo-wop group, we have our rendition of that, and people love it. So, you know, and I kept the essence of the song there, but, you know, they're right. Henry Glover was right. There's so many great songs already written, and you know, all you have to do is apply your own feeling into it, and it becomes the same song, but with a different approach.
Well, guess what? Barbara has, if she's only got 2 minutes left, 90 seconds left. So
okay.
I might extend the show a few seconds. So just hang in there, and we'll just all be in together.
Okay, great.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, this is Herb. Is this Barbara?
This is Barbara. Yes.
Hi, Barbara.
Oh, hi. I'm so sorry. I forgot she called me yesterday and asked me to change this 1:45. I said, oh, my God. She said 1 o'clock. I'm sorry.
But it's okay because we're about to end the show, but we'll... We played some of your music, and I'd like to ask you about how you got started with the toys, and
uh-huh.
Herb is going to hear it, too, so he knows for the future.
Hi, Barbara.
Okay.
This is Herb Cox. How you doing, dear?
Hi, Herb.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been subbing for you. I'm having a good time on the air.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no need to apologize. You're here. So tell me a little bit about your background and about the toys?
Well, I started out in church like a lot of us did when I was young. And when I came to New York, I was going to school out in Queens where I met the other two toys. And we started going, did all kinds of benefits, weddings, wherever we could go to sing. And we started going to New York City and trying to find background work for us. And we ran into that guy with the big cigar, you know, which was Eddie Chase first. And he said, I'm going to make you girls a star, you know. So we went and met our manager, Vince Smart, and Bob Crewe and his brother. And we joined, you know, signed with his record company. And we went in with the writers, Sandy, Linda, and Denny Randall, and we recorded the full song, of which the Lover's Concerto was one of them. And it just took off in 6 weeks. You know, we didn't expect that, but it took off. And
just took us all over the world. So I'm
now, Lover's Concerto,
mm-hmm.
was that taken from Mozart or something I read?
Yeah, it was taken from Bach.
Bach,
Johann Sebastian Bach, and it was his minuet in G, his finger exercise. And what the writers did was they said they put a Motown beat to it and came up with a Lover's Concerto.
Which, when it starts off, everybody recognizes it immediately. I mean, it's certainly a big hit for you, as was Attack.
Yes, yes, that was another concerto piece. That was Tchaikovsky. Yeah, that's And you can tell, you know, in the beginning, it's that was the Nutcracker Suite. And once again, they put that beat to it. Yeah, it came up with Attack.
What were some of your others?
Like that one. We had one that when we left Bob Crew's label, we signed with a company called MusiCorps. And we did a song that I really liked. It was called Fear with a Kiss. It was, I think it was Brian Hyland's old song. And we did a fast version, you know, up-tempo, very up-tempo version of it. And it was done by Helen Miller and Rose McCoy. And what a hot song that was. I really enjoyed doing that one. And then we had another one, May My Heart Be Cast in the Stone, which they re-released not too long ago, Warner Brothers, in a compilation. So those were the ones that actually got on the chart.
Well, tell me about the Toys. Who's going to be performing with you as the Toys at Lehman Center on January 19th?
Okay, we have a young lady from Brooklyn, New York, and her name is Sandra Taylor, and she'll be with me. She's been around in a lot of groups, and I just reformatted the group, and she's been a friend of mine for a while, and we did other work together, and our voices just blend well, so I asked her to come and join me in the Toys. And another young lady, which is my daughter.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to
keep
find.
It in the family.
Somebody to help you. So I grabbed her and said, here, learn this, and come on and help me. And she's all enthused about it. She remembers everything better than I do, the steps, the words. So I'm blessed. Yeah, and she lives, you know, in my house. We gave her the apartment downstairs so I can run down there and get with her anytime I want, you know. So it works out really good. And
did I read you had seven children?
Well, I had four, and my husband had three. And we kind of raised them all together. And, you know, him, and then we had two together, my second husband and myself, we had two together, so it was seven all together. But we kind of raised them all. But actually, I gave birth to four.
Well, your husband's in show business as well, correct?
Yes, yes, he is. In fact, he's my band leader and my bass player.
Ah, okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, Herb told me that all the groups are great and that you haven't seen each other in a while, correct? This will be, you're all getting together again at Lehman?
Yes, and it's going to be really a pleasure to see Herb again and the guys. We haven't worked together for a while. And
vice versa, Barbara.
Show.
I'm hanging in here. Vice versa. I always loved you. You listen to you all. You're so professional and so good. And your husband is the best MD in the world. Now, I have to say that in cover so that Cleve Freeman, who is our MD, doesn't hear that. But your husband is the best.
You know, in fact, we were just talking about Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
We got a show coming up, and my husband won't be able to do it. And he says, you know what? I'm going to look at Cleveland, ask Cleveland. I said, I think he's probably busy, though, with you guys.
He might be. We got a busy 2 months in front of us. So.
I kind of thought so. But we'll see him there, and if he's available that night.
Oh, sure. No problem at all.
Okay.
Well, have you guys done nightclub work?
Well, we have.
I'm sure Herb has, too.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm still doing it. Yeah, every chance I get.
Same here.
Just me and my band.
Can you do Vegas?
You know?
Yeah, what about Vegas? Do you do a lot of work out there?
No, I sure don't.
Well, we do, and I don't want to spend too much of Barbara's time, but we do, and so that means we need to talk.
Oh, okay.
Seriously, remind your husband or remind me when we see each other we should talk about this, because we've been fortunate. We're out there 3 or 4 times a year, and in fact, we're out there in the March, 3 days with are you ready? With Little Richard.
Oh, nice.
Oh, no kidding. That's great.
Yeah, so.
That's great.
Listen, I think I should get off and let you two share the time, and I've enjoyed the time, you know, spending here. But this is your time, darling, so all the best. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
Same here, Herb.
Okay.
Same here.
Okay.
All right. Take care now.
Thank you. Okay.
You're quite welcome. I'll be looking forward to hearing your music.
Great. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Herb.
So, Barbara, tell me about your CD, Barbara Now.
Oh, that was a labor of love. Me and my husband were fortunate enough to get a little studio in our home. And we just started writing. I had been writing in my earlier years, but got real serious when him and I got the studio. So we just pulled out all the stuff we had and wrote a few more, and it was like my journey through music. I tried to get a little bit of jazz, because I used to do jazz, gospel, the blues, rock and roll, you know,
wow.
and I tried to put all of that in that CD. And me and my husband did it basically. We had one friend to come in and help us on the guitar. And I did all the voices. My daughter helped me once. That's right. She wrote one of the songs, and she also did the background on it.
So where did one get the CD? On CD Baby or Amazon?
Yes, you can get it from CD Baby, Amazon.com. You can contact me on my website, and I'll send it out to you. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Share your website with the listeners so they can go there.
Okay, it's Barbara, and that's B-A-R-B-A-R-A, at Barbara's Toys, one word, BARBARASTOYS.net.
All right.
Barbara at BarbarasToys.net.
And that's where they can get your CD, Barbara Now.
Uh-huh.
Now, we should be looking forward to that, because... as you say, it's going to be an eclectic CD with different styles and forms of music.
Yes. I'm so really, for lack of a better word, I'm proud of it. You know, it was our first go at doing something solo, you know, with just two of us. And we're very, very happy about it. You know, we're working on another one now.
We should have had
more done, but we're working on another one. Yeah.
Is that titled yet, or it's too new in the stages of development?
Well, I tell you, what it is songs that we're doing on the shows, because so many people come and they ask with the CDs, are these the songs that you just did on the show, or are you going to do them? And we said, no. So what we did was take the songs that we do on the show and put them together and put that on the CD. So that'll be finished in maybe another 5 or 6 months.
What are some of the shows can the audience look forward to hearing from you at Lehman?
Some of the songs? Okay, we're going to do Can't Turn You Loose. That would be Otis Redding's version, but it's our version. We turned it around a little bit. But Can't Turn You Loose. And then we're going to do... a little bit of The Toys Are Back in Town. It's like a little signature thing we do. Like The Boys Are Back in Town, we do The Toys Are Back in Town. And then we're going to do a medley of girl groups from starting from the 40s with the Mr. Sandman. Then we're going to the Bobettes, the Chantels, the Shirelles, the Marvelettes. We cover, I think it's 7 or 8 groups. And it's a cute little medley we put together just to honor, you know, the great ladies from back then.
Well,
and then we do another
concerto.
Yeah.
Oh,
if we have enough time,
that's
we always... Huh?
I said, of course you're going to do your big hits.
Yeah. If we have time, though, we'd like to do this song called Don't Cry Out Loud, Melissa Manchester. What a great song that is. Oh, we have a nice little arrangement on it, you know. But sometimes we don't get enough time to do that.
Yeah,
but
I guess there's
like
five groups playing that night, right? For the Unforgettable Doo-Wop, I should say, is the name of the show.
Yeah, because everybody's good on the show. Kenny Vance, oh, phenomenal. Herb Cox, oh, he's out of sight, you know. And
what a pleasant person.
Yes, he is. Always a gentleman. From the day I first met him, you know. I can't wait to see him. I haven't seen them in a while. And then the Zodiacs, we just worked with them, though, Maurice and the Zodiacs, and they're very good. And the Dubs, oh, my goodness. They are fabulous. We work with them quite often.
Well, then I want to tell the people, do you hear what she's saying? You got to buy tickets, folks.
Oh, yes, come on. You don't get shows like this too often.
So here's the number to call, 718-960-8833 to buy tickets at Lehman Center's box office. And you can go online at www.lehmancenter.org. So I want you to go down there and get these tickets. And if you're a turtle, turn into a hare, because we don't know how long it'll take before these tickets are gone.
That's right. Come on down, everybody. New York, New Jersey, this is a great show. Oh,
it's
going to
be at Lehman Center for the Performing Arts. Have you played the event?
I think we were at the Lehman a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I believe so. I can't remember the date, but I believe we did it once before.
So you know that you have a good, a nice mixed audience there.
Yes.
Uh huh.
Uh-huh. So some of my friends are coming from up that way.
Oh, well, that's fabulous.
Uh-huh.
Do you still live in Queens, or you?
No,
are you still
New Jersey
a New Yorker?
Now.
Oh, you're in New York.
No,
oh, okay.
I just moved over across the bridge from Staten Island to Elizabeth, New Jersey. We just bought a home over here, and kind of my husband, he retired, and I'm retired, so it's quiet over here, so we moved right across the bridge, not too far from all our kids.
A lot of artists are over there. Gloria Lynn lives in New Jersey.
Okay. I'm meeting more and more. You're right. I'm meeting more and more.
Yeah, I'll mention to Gloria that you're out there.
Okay. I know Shirley Austin lives over here in Hillside, not too far from me.
Nice.
Sherelle's was from Jersey, too, yeah. And who else did I meet? I met quite a few now. They weren't well-known, but there was a band called Foots. I met the guys in that band, and I used to go see them a long time ago. And they were great then, and they're still great.
So who are some of the big artists you've worked with over the years?
Oh, boy. Jackie Wilson, a lot of the Motown acts, the Supremes, the Marvelettes, the Temptations, the Four Tops.
Were any of them mentors to you?
Yes. But you know what? Mine were, like, when I was younger and my mother used to play all the old records, and she would play Nancy Wilson, Ella Fitzgerald, you know, Nina Simone.
Oh, God,
so
yeah.
I grew up kind of listening to that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a nice wide range of the blues. When I first joined the blues band, I was so surprised that the guy was giving me songs that I heard when I was little that my mother used to play and asked me to learn them, you know? Uh-oh. You there?
Yeah.
Hello? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello?
Sounds like another call was coming in. I was supposed to call you on the landline, and I made a mistake and called you on my cell phone.
Well, don't even worry about it, because we're going to start ending the show, but I wanted to give you some time to talk about yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you would like to say?
You know what? I'm managing now a group called The Cookies. Yeah. You remember
nice.
The Cookies? Yeah, Margaret Ross. She Williams now. She wanted to start her old group again, and she helped. She was helping me with the toys at that time, and I said, she said, could you help me? And I said, yeah, sure. So I ended up getting her shows, and I had to jump in and join the group because we didn't have a third girl. So I was having so much fun. I put on a different wig, you know, and go out there with
oh, that's funny.
And be a cookie. Oh, yes, it was so much fun. And she's she started her group now. She's very happy. So I'm managing them and still working with her, you know, when we can't find anybody.
Well, that's
so
a different aspect of the business for you, Chris.
I'm learning a lot still. I thought I had learned a lot about this business. I'm still learning.
Well, I really thank you, Barbara, for coming on the show and telling us about a little bit about yourself and your music.
Thank
and
you.
We're looking forward to seeing you because I'll be there to see your show and listen to all the wonderful acts that are part of Unforgettable Duo.
Great. And thank you, Deidre, for having me.
It's been my pleasure. And one more time, folks, to get tickets, you should go to the Lehman Center box office or at 250 Bedford Park Boulevard West, where the venue is, or call 718-960-8833 or go online at www.lehmancenter.org and get your tickets to something very unforgettable.
Yes.
Unforgettable.
You don't want to miss this show. You don't want to miss this show.
You do not want to miss this show. And in fact, I'm going to end the show with, well, because I've already played all your songs, Barbara.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. Thank you.
I'm going to end the show with Heart and Soul. So
all
I want to sing. And that is the Cleftones.
Yes.
And he talked about it enough. Now you're going to get a chance to hear it.
And
I want to say thank you again, Herb Cox, for coming on the top of the show, and thank you, Barbara, for ending out the show in a most loving and gracious way.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank you.
This is Deirdre Schuler. This is the Topically Yours show, and I thank my listeners for making my topic topically yours, and we're going to end again, as I said, with Heart and Soul.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's the moment we've all been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the Cleftones! Loving you.